Hello, beloved. It's wonderful to be with you and once again to have the privilege of looking at scripture and doing a Bible study. And this time we're going to look at deception again. We are busy with part 6 of our short series on deception. And what we're going to do today is we're going to look at some examples that we find in the scriptures of those who deceived. And it's interesting how full the scripture is of people who deceived. Right, before we do that though, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can come to you in Jesus' precious name. Thank you that we have your word that teaches us what we need to know. I pray that you will open up our hearts to receive your word, our minds to understand your word, and I pray that you will enable me as your servant to teach your word. I pray, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right. Now, the first example, I think most probably the biggest of the examples in the scripture of those who deceive would be the devil himself. Remember that the devil came to Eve in the garden, right there in the beginning of Genesis chapter 3, and he came in the form of a serpent, so there's already deception. He didn't come and show himself for who he really was. No, he came in the form of a serpent. We don't know what the serpent looked like or anything like that, but what we know is that he came in the form of a serpent. Most probably it was a real snake, maybe not the kind of snakes that we have today, or sailing on its belly or whatever. Some people kill snakes because they believe that the snake was in the garden and it was the snake who deceived Eve. That's not true. It was the devil who took on the form of a snake. So this could be just a form. In the sense of its figurative speech. But it could be a physical serpent at that specific stage, that Satan kind of came in the form of that serpent and he came to Eve. And what is interesting is his question that he asked was deceptive. Because he asked Eve, "Has God said that you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Can you see how he wants to trick Eve in the question that he asks? Did God say you're not allowed to eat of every tree in the garden? To which Eve obviously replied and said, no, we can eat of all the trees, but we're just not allowed to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's in the middle of the garden. If we eat of that tree, we will surely die. Aha, and that's when Satan said, no, you will not surely die. God knows that your eyes will be opened up and you will be like God. And here is the deception. You will be like God, knowing good from evil. Is it true that God knows good from evil? Obviously. Obviously, that's the truth. That's the reality. You know, so this whole setup of the devil was to trick Eve into believing that she can actually be like God, knowing good from evil, and understanding more of who God is, because she will become God herself. And that's kind of the same deceit that Satan is still using even today. And the way he does it is he twists words and he sets up questions in such a way that he tricks people into believing certain things, or he deceives people by the way that he presents information. Nothing has changed. He's doing exactly the same thing as he did in the Garden of Eden. But it's deceptive. The idea behind all of the deceit was for Adam and Eve to fall into sin. That's what Satan wanted to accomplish. Did he accomplish it? Yes, he did. Little did he know that in verse 15 of Genesis chapter 3, that God already made a plan. Within the triune God, before the foundation of the earth, God already decided that God the Father would send God the Son to this earth, empowered by God the Holy Spirit, and God the Son would die for the sins of people. God knew. It's not as if God was caught off guard. So the question is, why didn't God do anything about it? Could God do anything about it? Of course God could do anything about it. Or do something about it. But God decided not to do it. Because God was busy, how can I say, developing the whole plan and purpose that he had to redeem people from this earth. I always explain it this way, because this is the best explanation I could find from Scripture, is you remember when the angels fell from heaven? A third of the angels were basically kicked out of heaven because they rose up against God with Satan, and they rebelled against God. So a third of the angels were no longer in heaven. And I believe, that's just my belief, so I'm not saying it dogmatically, but I believe that God is filling up heaven with people. He created Adam and Eve so that he could fill up heaven. The third of the angels that rebelled against him, he is filling them up, or filling up heaven. And that amount of people, angels that has left heaven, he is now filling up with people. That's just my belief of it. So I'm not saying it dogmatically, that's the only truth, but it's an interesting thing to think about. But what we do see is that the devil was right there, right from the start, and he was ready to deceive. And later on we find, as we read through Scripture, he is always ready to deceive. He deceives the nations, he deceives the leaders of the nations, he deceives people who are open to be deceived. He knows exactly. He's got years and years and years of experience in deceiving people. And I believe that we are now living in a time where there is such deceit. And it was Jesus Christ who warned us in, for example, Matthew chapter 24, that we need to be aware of deception. One of the signs of the times, deception. Because Satan has been deceiving mankind from the start, from creation. And he is still doing the same thing. And he's just become a master in deception. Right. In John chapter 8 verse 44, Jesus told the Pharisees that they were of their father the devil. Why? Because they were doing the works of the devil. Okay, they were also being deceivers. And anybody who deceives are actually doing the work of the devil. Right? They are following in the footsteps of, and Jesus calls them, their father, the devil. Remember that Satan is a murderer from the beginning, right? He does not stand for the truth because there is no truth in him. He speaks lies. He is a liar and the father of lies, because that's what deception is, né? Deception is half-truths or misguided truth, or trying to misguide people or misdirect people. That's what it is. Lying is what deception is all about. And that's exactly what Satan does. But in the Garden of Eden, his deception was extremely cunning. It was twisting the truth and twisting what God has said and twisting what Eve was said to try to get Eve to basically fall for his deception. And we know she did. But praise God, we also know that God already made a plan in the person of Jesus Christ, who would become flesh to come and die for the sins of people, sinners like you and I. Another example of those who deceive is found in Genesis chapter 27, where we read about the story of Rebecca and Jacob. You remember that they deceived Isaac into believing that Jacob was actually Esau, the eldest son. And Isaac was blessed instead of Esau. And the whole deception that took place around it. It is so heartbreaking to actually read it. That Jacob couldn't wait for his brother to serve him, because that was what God said, that his brother would actually serve him. And Jacob couldn't wait for it. Rebecca couldn't wait for it, so they deceived Isaac into believing that Jacob was actually Esau. And Jacob lied to his father as he pretended to be Esau. And it's interesting when we read in the text that Isaac wanted to know how Esau could find a wild animal so quickly and make a stew for him so that he could bless him. And it was Jacob who said, and the words are actually shocking. He says, "The Lord your God brought it to me." It is shocking. He brought God into his deception. So, Rebecca, Jacob, once again, an example in scripture of people who were extremely deceptive, and they were deceptive towards a blind man in the person of Isaac. How heartbreaking. But still, God gives us those examples so that we can learn from them. Yeah. Later on, and this is the, maybe we can say what goes around comes around, what you sow you shall reap kind of thing. Because when Jacob went to work for Laban, you remember? We read in Genesis 31 that Laban changed the wages of Jacob 10 times. And you remember that he gave Leah to Jacob instead of Rachel? Jacob loved Rachel and he wanted Rachel as his wife, but he got Leah instead because Laban was actually a deceiver. But it was as if Jacob received what he was what he had done. He did it to his father. So why wouldn't he receive the same thing? And that's kind of what we see in this passage now. And remember that Jacob worked for Laban for 40 years. 14 years he worked for Laban. And then another example that is also very interesting is found in Genesis chapter 37. And that is Joseph's brothers. You remember that they took Joseph and they sold him because they didn't like what Joseph was telling them, that they would serve Joseph. They were jealous of Joseph, right? And Joseph received this beautiful tunic. You remember that? So they took this tunic and they dipped it in blood and they brought it to his father Jacob. And once again, Jacob was deceived by his own sons, just like he deceived his father Isaac. Now he was deceived by his own sons. Once again, what goes around comes around. He reaped what he sowed, and where he heard that, when he saw that, the sons asked Jacob whose tunic it was. Jacob kind of saw it, that it was Jacob's tunic, and it was heartbreaking for him because he thought that it was a wild beast that tore Jacob to pieces. Heartbreaking for Jacob. But his sons were acting deceitfully towards their own father. It is so heartbreaking to see, to read. But that's what happened. Another example also is found in Pharaoh. You remember? Pharaoh the deceiver, who would say, yeah, no, he will let the people of Israel go when it was a plague, one of the plagues that fell on Egypt. But then he would go back on his word. He would lie to Moses that he would let the people of Israel go, and he wouldn't do it. All right? Then another example is a man after God's own heart. The person called David. It is actually so heartbreaking to see that, but he's called a man after God's own heart because God is a forgiving God. And this is the amazing thing of God, about God, is the fact that God is a merciful God. God is, he forgives even deceivers like David, and then he calls him a man after his own heart because David's heart before God was right, even though he was a sinner. You read in 1 Samuel chapter 21, when David fled from Saul, the king at that specific stage, and he got to Achish, the king of Gath, and David was afraid, and what did he do? He pretended to be mad. Because he was afraid of the king of Gath. He pretended to be mad. That is deception, because David was not mad. He deceived the king into believing that he was mad. Another example is found in the friends of Job. Job's friends. In Job chapter 6 verse 15, Job basically describes the counsel of his friends as a stream that kind of appears in winter time. It's suddenly there's this stream, and there's the sound that the streams would make in winter time in the desert. But in summertime, when the camel caravans would come and they would need water, there would be nothing. That's how Job describes his friends. and the counsel that his friends gave him, because his friends were not upright with him. Then another example is found in the New Testament. We looked at some examples in the Old Testament, but an example in the New Testament of someone who was a deceiver is in the person of Herod, King Herod, remember? In Matthew chapter 2, when Jesus Christ was born and the wise men came to see the child, when they saw the star. And Herod said to them, "Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also." Oh, what deception. His intention was never ever to worship Jesus as the King of the Jews. His intention was to kill Jesus, because later on we learn that that's exactly what he did. He was a deceiver. He was deceiving the wise men with his words. But there's another example in Scripture, in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, sorry, of people who were deceivers, and they were actually religious leaders. And we find it in Matthew chapter 22, verse 16, it speaks about the Pharisees who were deceivers. And what they tried to do is they wanted to catch Jesus by asking him if they should pay taxes to Caesar or not. Because if they could get Jesus to say, "No, you don't have to pay, you must give homage to God and God alone," they could actually arrest him and get him prosecuted for not wanting to pay taxes to Caesar. But wow, it's amazing what Jesus Christ does and how he answers them. He says, "Give me a coin whose head is on it." And they said, "Caesar's head." He says, "So pay to Caesar what is due to Caesar, but pay to God what is due to God." And in that way, he just kind of closed the mouths of the Pharisees, because they were trying to deceive him and they wanted to get something to kind of destroy Jesus, to get him to keep his mouth closed. They didn't want Jesus around, because Jesus was exposing the evil, dirty works that they were committing. And they were doing it in the name of God. Remember, the Pharisees were lovers of money, like you cannot believe. And Jesus exposed them. So they didn't want Jesus around. So they would use all kind of deceptive means to try to get Jesus Christ to say something that they could use. I mean, even the chief priests were guilty of deceit. We read about it in Mark chapter 14. And what we read is that the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him, that's Jesus, by trickery and put him to death. You see, they had no legitimate reason to try to kill Jesus, so they had to revert to trickery. That's so heartbreaking. But, beloved, that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what they did. Remember, they brought in false witnesses to testify against Jesus. They said that he did certain things and that he wanted to rise up against the government and did all kinds of things against Caesar. They just lied and lied and lied and lied. They used deceit to get Jesus killed. And that's so heartbreaking to see. But you know what is amazing? Is the fact that Scripture is not afraid to reveal to us people who were involved in deceit. And the amazing thing is that Scripture doesn't even have a problem to reveal to us people who are called after a man after God's own heart, for example. That the Scripture is not afraid to call him out on his deceit. Because that's what Scripture does. It gives us the good and it gives us the ugly. It gives us the blessing, but it also gives us the curse. It gives us the people who did not deceive, and it gives us the people who deceived, so that we can learn for us not to be deceivers ourselves and to try to deceive people. And it's amazing how we can see different ways that is described in the Scripture, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, of how people deceived others. and how they didn't even withhold deception as a means of trying to trick Jesus into getting him killed. So, beloved, may the Lord help us that we should not fall into deception, that we will not be led astray by deception, but that we will also not deceive others. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can come to you. Thank you for your love and kindness. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you've done for us. And Father, thank you so much that we can learn from your word. May we learn and apply it to our lives, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Right, beloved, thank you very much for listening. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. And may he give you his peace. God willing, until next time, when we look at deception a little further. Bye-bye.